Galatians chapter 5, prayer meeting night. Not many people have them anymore. Prayer meeting Bible study. Well, I remember when I first got saved, I went to that preacher after a couple of weeks. I said, "Preacher, I need to know something. What goes on around here?" He said, "Well, we got Sunday school." I said, "What is that?" He said, "Well, that's where you go in a class of your age group and they teach you the Bible." I said, "Well, I have to take a test?" He said, "No, you won't take no test." I said, "Well, I have to say anything?" "No, you won't say nothing." I said, "Well, all right, I'll be there." He said, "Then we got Sunday morning, you've been there, and we got Sunday night." I said, "What you do on Sunday night?" He said, "Well, we got training union." People don't have training union anymore. Some of y'all don't even know what training union is. He said, I said, "What's that?" He said, "That's where we teach people really to be teachers." He said, "It's a higher level there." I said, "Well, I want in on that." So I came training. I said, "What else you got?" He said, "Sunday night preaching." I said, "Oh, you got church on Sunday?" "Yeah, well, I'll come." I said, "What else you got?" He said, "Wednesday night prayer meeting Bible study." I said, "What is that?" He said, "That's just where we read prayer lists and study the Bible on Wednesday night." I said, "Well, I'll be here." And I've been going to church on Wednesday night as far as I could get. If work didn't interfere, I was there from then on. And I've never found a problem with it. Now, Galatians chapter 5. Everybody ought to be there by now. And look at verse 7, if you will. Galatians 5, verse 7. "Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that calls you. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. I have confidence in you through the Lord that ye will be none otherwise minded. But he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment, whosoever he be." And he says, "And I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the cross ceased. I would they were even cut off which trouble you." And we'll go a little bit farther than that in just a minute. But week before last, I taught on faith without works is dead. And then I taught works. Faith produces works. You got to have both. There's no such thing as having faith without works. There's no such thing as having works without faith. So this week, I want to teach you on what happens when people get those two things mixed up. They're mixed up. The Apostle Paul, or the Holy Spirit, through the Apostle Paul, he had noticed something was happening in this congregation in Galatia. He noticed something was happening. He said there in verse 7, "Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you." And what he was saying was, excuse me, he said, "You ran well. You were progressing. You were going further in the Christian faith. You were moving on." He said, "Who cut you off? Who's hindered you? Who has stopped you? Who has slowed you down from being what God wants you to be?" Now, I've preached this, and I think it really doesn't do injustice to it. I have said, "Who hinders you from being saved?" But that's not in the context. He's not saying that. And I've said, "Well, you know, your brother, your sister, your mama, your daddy, your wife, your husband, your children, your grandparents, your friends, whoever might be hindering you." But in the context, if we take this whole thing, what he's saying is the church in Galatia as a whole, had stopped progressing. Not just one, but everybody had stopped running or proceeding or going forward or making progress in the Christian life. Not just one, everybody. This church, this letter is written to a church, not an individual. But there's an individual causing it. He said, you did run well. Who hindered you? Church. Church, who hindered you? Galatian church. Now listen, Satan has always attempted to hinder the work, the plan, the purpose of God's people through the local church. He's always done it. He's always done it. If a church is doing anything for God, Satan is going to try to put somebody in there. Somebody. It takes a somebody. Satan's not going to show up, by the way. A somebody that he sent will show up. In order for them to hinder the progression. I'll give you an example. When Preacher Moore died, not long after he died, I was just a young preacher. I had no experience. He had brought me into work with the kids, and after he died, people started leaving left and right, and I'm stuck here, and really, I wasn't running church. All I was getting to do was preach. But one day, about the second Sunday, I looked back on the right-hand side, close to the back, and there were two young men with white shirt, black pants, and a black tie, and a little badge that said elder on. I knew what they were, and I was a young Christian. In case you don't know, they were Mormon missionaries. And after it was over, I went back there to speak to them, and I said, why have you come to this church? They said, well, we go around and we look for churches that might need some help. In other words, they had heard the pastor died and they were wanting to sidetrack that church. They were wanting to hinder that church. Now, it turned out they didn't because I told them they wasn't welcome. But somebody did. Somebody destroyed that church because it wasn't going to be run the way she wanted it run, so it didn't get run at all. But the point being, here's a whole congregation, and Satan has always worked at hindering the plan of God in the local church. Now, y'all listen to me. Listen, God did not establish denominationalism. God didn't establish denominations to go into all the world and preach the gospel. He established local churches with local Christians to preach the gospel everywhere we go. You understand what I'm saying? Don't think there's some big denomination or big organization, the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association or some Christian college or something like that is going to do anything for the local church. They're not for that. They're for them and the local church. God put us here to evangelize this area and as far out as we go. Now, when the devil sees you've got that in your mind, then he will do anything he can to hinder you. Abraham sent for Isaac's bride. You remember that story? Abraham sent his servant to get Isaac's bride. Y'all remember the story? If you don't, Genesis 24. In verse 55, listen, her brother said to the servant that came to get the daughter, the bride, her brother said, listen, why don't you let her stay a little bit longer and say goodbye to all her family, maybe 5 or 10 days? Don't leave yet. Just stay. They were having a party, like an engagement party. Just stay, and she can say her goodbyes to everybody. And he said, no, we're not going to do that. I found her. She's got to go back with me now. But see, the devil put that in her brother's mind. Now, I know the devil did that, but the brother didn't know the devil did that. But if that girl would have stayed home 10 days, she'd had second thoughts and probably wouldn't have went. That old boyfriend would have come back by. Amen? Yeah, that was the devil's plan. That wasn't God's plan. But even with Abraham. And then in Nehemiah 4, and I'm not going to tell you to turn there, but if you ever want to read it, they're rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem. In verse 8, the enemies of rebuilding the wall. It says, and they conspired, all of them, and there's a few more words in that, but at the end of it, it says, to hinder it. Now, God was wanting to rebuild the city, wanting to put the walls back up, and these folks didn't want it rebuilt, so they conspired to hinder it. Now, sometimes it's not just a brother or a sister. Sometimes it's a group of people that will conspire to hinder the local church. Y'all understand what I'm saying? And you got to be careful. And then Luke 52, don't turn there. This is my introduction. You can turn there later. He rebuked the lawyers. He said, ye enter not in yourselves, and them that were entering in ye hindered. Now these are teachers of the law. In case you don't know, that's the Old Testament laws. These men knew the law up and down, back and forth. They could probably just quote it backwards. They knew it. They taught it. And these men got together when Jesus was preaching, and they tried to teach these people who were following Jesus. They tried to hinder them from them following Him. See, anytime God's doing something, the devil's going to try to hinder it. There have been hindrances here. Some of y'all don't know anything about it. Some of you never will. But there's been hindrances here. In 1 Thessalonians 2:18, Paul was hindered. He was hindered. On two occasions, he wanted to go to two different places. One of them was Asia. And the Bible says that God wouldn't let him go. But in another place, it says, but Satan hindered us. Now, he will hinder us individually. He will do that. But his goal is through you to hinder the local church. That's what it's all about. I tell people all the time, you don't know how important you are. Most people do not know how important they are. And you think, well, I just won't do this, or I won't do that, or I won't sing in the choir, or I won't go to Sunday school, or I won't teach, or I won't witness. And you think it's no big deal because it's just you. No, sir. Satan has a plan. If he can hinder you, he can hinder others too. Watch out. Watch out. But again, that's not what he's talking about in this passage. Paul is talking to saved people here. And somebody is hindering them from maturing and getting a victory in their Christian lives. Somebody is hindering those church members from growing, going on, running. Who hindered you? You did run well. And Satan is trying to hinder them from going forward and maturing and getting the victory. Rick, you probably don't know it. You're a pretty young Christian. There's people who've been saved 30, 40 years, and they've got things in their life that they're hindered by, and they just can't seem to get the victory over that thing. Y'all know what I'm talking about. They can't get the victory. I know preachers who are hindered by anger and hate and unforgiveness and jealousy and all this stuff, and they can't get past it. They just can't get past it. Now, that's the devil that did that. I don't know who he used to do that, to get to them, but he used somebody to put that person in that predicament, and now they're not running anymore, Billy. Now, they're still in church, but they're not maturing, they're not growing, they don't have the victory over what's hindering them. And he said, look here, somebody's hindering you. Sometimes I'll preach on hell. I say, ain't nobody worth going to hell over. Ain't nobody worth going to hell over. You said, but I love my wife. Well, if she's not going to get saved, you better go on without her. You can love her lost. I wouldn't let my wife hinder me from going to heaven. Amen? You said, well, I would get saved, but my husband, he won't do it. Go on without him. Go on without him. This woman told me one time, she stayed out. She was a church member. She stayed out of church a lot. She said, I have to stay home because my husband tells me he don't want me to go to church. I'm supposed to obey my husband. Ephesians 5 says so. I said, Ephesians 5 says, obey your husband in the Lord. Amen? Amen. I said, leave that booger at home and go to church. Amen? He's hindering you. And of course, she never did. But if we want to mature, we cannot let anybody or anything hinder us. Now, God's not doing that. God's not the one hindering. A lot of people say, well, the Lord won't let me. A lot of people give the Lord blame for a lot of things that's not the Lord. Amen? He said, verse 8, this persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. The Lord's not the one that's hindering these people. It was somebody else. We need to quit blaming the... what did Bobby Brindle's wife say? She said, y'all preachers got a lot to answer for, because when y'all get to heaven, y'all go around saying, the Lord told me to do this, and the Lord said that, and the Lord never did tell you to do that. She's crazy. She talks that little old man crazy, I'm telling you. But we can't blame it on the Lord. Don't blame it on the Lord. If you were running the race and you are not running anymore, that's not God's will. God didn't do that. You let somebody else did. Somebody else did that to you. Some of y'all were looking at me very strange. Look at verse 9. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. How's someone hindering you? Your progression, a little leaven. Do you know what? I looked up that word in dictionary, and that word leaven comes from the same Greek base word that our word micro came from. Micro. A little. A little. Micro. How do they say small in Spanish? Poquito. Poquito. And big is grande, man. But micro. Listen, it doesn't take a whole lot. It doesn't take a whole lot. Some of y'all think I'm crazy because of the things I criticize. I criticize some of this worldly music and stuff, you know, coming into the churches and all. And you say, preacher, that's just your opinion. No, that's leaven. That's a little bit of the world coming into the church. It don't take much. That's a little bit of that leaven coming into the church. Just a little bit. Well, preacher, this song ain't all that bad. Yeah, but it's a little bit. It's just a little bit. Just takes a little bit. Look, it don't take but a pinch of leaven, literally, to make a loaf of bread. It don't take a fistful. Amen? Just a little bit. Now, he said, there's a little leaven leaveneth the whole bunch. Listen here. It's a tiny thing that's been sowed that stopped them from running. Just a tiny thing. It don't take much. I talk to people sometimes. I say, why'd you quit being faithful to the church? Why did you quit teaching Sunday school? Why'd you quit singing in the choir? Why'd you quit going on visitation? Somebody hurt my feelings. Well, that's a tiny thing. They hurt your feelings at Walmart and you kept going. They hurt your feelings down at the grocery store and you kept going. They hurt your feelings down at the job and you keep working. They hurt your feelings there every day, don't they? And your wife hurt your feelings. You kept on staying with your wife. I mean, look, just a little bit, just a little bit of something wrong will ruin the whole thing. Now listen to me. And I know some of y'all come from Pentecostal backgrounds, and I understand that. I'm a little Babicostal myself. That's what they tell me. I had one tell me one time, he said, you got the gift. I said, I don't. He said, you do. I said, I don't. He said, you do. I hear it in your preaching. I said, no, preaching I got. But tongues I don't. Now, listen. I tell people sometimes they'll get upset at me, you know, and they'll come in here, and they don't like the way it is. I mean, they don't like the way it is. They don't like that it's, once you take Baptist off sign, I say, I'd be a liar if I took Baptist off sign. I'm a Baptist. I didn't call me Baptist. The world calls me Baptist. Amen? They say, well, why don't you get you some drums? Well, you know, there are some Christian songs that you could, if you had I've been to churches that have whole orchestras. Well, praise God. But to put a set of drums up there, it's got to be bad because they put the guy behind a glass cage. You ever seen that? You know why they put him behind glass cage? Because he's so stinking loud, you got to muffle him with something. You got to hide him behind that glass cage. I've always wondered, why don't we get some tomatoes and start throwing them at that glass cage? That glass cage. Charge a dollar for somebody and throw them over. But I have no problem with that. But when when the drum beat takes over the music, that's a little thing. But it will progress. He said, you did run well. A little leaven is whole lump. Here's what he's saying. Something has come in that's small and it's simple. But it's hindered your whole church. Well, this one got mad at that one. And now they've all started taking sides. Just a little thing. I mean, she got mad because she wore the same dress that she wore. I started to say he, and you could say that these days. but she got mad because she had on the same dress as she did, and they quit speaking to each other, and I think she was right because she had to dress first, and it's just a little thing. Pretty soon you got to fight. Just a little thing. Well, Pastor, you know that new King James Bible is real close to the King James Bible, and you wasn't here when I preached. Things that are different are not the same. Just a little thing. What about the next one? It's just going to be a little bit different than the new King James. And then what about the next one? It's just going to be a little bit more different from the New King James. And what about the next one? Do you know book publishers is going to come out with a new one every year because that's how they make money, is selling books. And everybody's got a King James. It's just a little thing. Well, Pastor, you know, we could get that Sunday school material from the Southern Baptist Convention. There's just a few little things we disagree with. Yeah, but a little leaven's a whole lump. Pretty soon you've messed up a whole Sunday school class in one Sunday school lesson. It was a tiny thing. It was a micro thing. But you know what? It contaminates the whole loaf. You know what leaven is? Leaven is a contaminant. It makes the bread swell. It's rotten. So it makes the bread rise. And look, it don't take but just a little bit. But guess what? You got a whole handful of your left. You got to put in another one, and then in another one, then in another one, then in another one, then in another one, then in another one. It contaminates the whole loaf. He told him in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 5 through 7. I'm not in my sermon yet. Hang on. Verse 5 through 7. The Apostle Paul, under inspiration of the Holy Spirit, when a man was living with his stepmother and having relations with her, he said, purge it. Put it out. Get rid of it. That's what he told him. Matter of fact, he went so far and said, y'all rebuked him 3 times and he won't get right, so why don't you just turn his body over to the devil so his soul can be saved. Well, wouldn't that be something if we started doing that around here this Sunday? Oh my goodness. Did you hear what Preacher Ron did? He turned that man over to the devil. Amen. Listen. He said, purge it or it will continue to leaven as long as it's in the loaf. Definition. So I got scared. I thought, Brother Ron, you're not teaching it right. So I finally went and I got me a dictionary and it says this. Leaven. A substance used to produce fermentation in dough and make it rise. Usually, a piece is saved from the previous baking. You see what he's saying? Once you start it, you can't quit it. It's got to go on and on. And every loaf's got to have a little bit in it. Unless you want flat bread. That's popular nowadays. You might want flat bread. But comparing it to the church, listen, in the Bible, it's used as an illustration of an influence from an outside source that can come into the church and penetrate and permeate and ruin whatever it touches, according to Nelson's Bible Dictionary. I know people think I'm a nut. I know people think that they'll tell you I'm too strict on this or I'm not enough strict on that. We're going to get on that in a minute. But we got to be real careful about the leaven that we allow, not only in our church, but in our personal lives too. Exodus chapter 12, don't turn there. Verse 15, 19, if you want to turn to it later, Jesus commanded to remove it from the house during Passover. I mean, the Jews were commanded to remove all leaven. They had to get it out of the house because it represented something that was dead and fermented and not good. Leaven. You couldn't eat leaven by itself. And it was commanded to be taken out of the house. In Matthew 16, verse 6, 11, 12, Luke 12, 1, Jesus warned his disciples about the teachings of the Pharisees, comparing their teachings to leaven. Jesus did. I say, don't listen to Joel Osteen. Oh, but he's such an inspiration. Yeah, he's just putting leaven in. He's got a lot of nice, sweet stuff and got something rotten stuck in there because he don't believe the Bible. He don't. He holds it up and he talks about it. But if you could corner him and say, do you believe the Bible to be the inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God without any mixture of error in it, he would look you dead in the eye and say, no, there's no such book left on planet Earth. But he's a nice guy. He's pretty. He's got more money in his teeth than I drive in my automobile. Galatians 5:10, look at it. I'm about through. Y'all thought I was just getting started, didn't you? Galatians 5:10, he said, I have confidence in you through the Lord that ye will be none otherwise minded. In other words, you're going to agree with me. I have confidence through the Lord. But he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment whosoever he be. You know what he's saying? You judge it. You find out where it's at, and you judge it, and listen, you get rid of it. He said, he troubles you. He troubles you. Now, I'm going to show you what leaven was in just a minute, but he would. This person or these people were troubling that whole church. They were the ones bringing in. And listen, what they were teaching was not nasty or dirty or ugly, and I'm going to show you in a minute, but he says, you need to find this and get it out. I told you the other week, things are different. They're not the same. And I know I've had people come here and leave out and go places with other people and say, well, I don't agree with the preacher on everything. I don't expect you to agree with me on color of carpet or maybe the chandelier. But when it comes to the Word of God, we're supposed to be in one accord. Amen. There's no... And listen, if you don't, you are the leaven. And you say, well, I feel like I'm right and you're wrong and the majority of people, then you need to find a place that agrees with you, see. It ain't hard to do. It's like a smorgasbord out there, man. There's a buffet of churches out there. You can go over here and get you a horse church and go over there and get you a happy church and go over there and get you a house church and go over there and get you a Harley church and I'm not going to use the other word, but you can get you a woman preacher and you can get all kind of churches. They're all over this town. And if you look around long enough, you'll find somebody agrees with your leaven. But it'll stop you from growing. They've already decided they want their leaven and they don't want to run no more. They're happy sitting, not running. Amen? Now, he said, your running's affected. Look at verse 11. Verse 11. And I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the cross ceased. Do you what he said? He said, in this case, it was legalism, circumcision. Legalism. But it could also be liberalism. Both of those add and take away from the gospel. Y'all still with me? I'm going to explain legalism again. Legalism is when you add something to the gospel saying, yeah, you can be saved by believing on Christ, but you've also got to do this to be saved. Now, liberalism says, well, you know, the gospel's good, but it's not necessarily all there is. You're too strict in this area. See? That's why Jesus told us not to go to the right hand or to the left. Now, in their case, it was circumcision. There were some Jews that slipped in this Gentile church and said, look, Moses said the law says you got to be circumcised to go to heaven. So let's line them up and start circumcising because that's part of being saved. And it was a lie. But now, wasn't that bigger thing to a Jew? Because being born, was part of their birth, just like it is most of ours, you know. But they were adding that to the gospel. They didn't say the Bible wasn't true. They didn't say that Jesus was a liar. They said, yeah, Jesus was the Savior. Believe on Him and get circumcised and you'll be saved. Now that's legalism. Legalism, now y'all know me. I'm old-fashioned. I didn't grow up that way. But far as a Christian in the church, I'm old-fashioned. I like to kid around, joke around, but when it comes to the church and the Bible, I'm not going to kid around, joke around. There's some do's and there's some don'ts, there's some rights, there's some wrongs, but I will never say you're not saved if you don't wear a dress. I think you ought to wear a dress to church, by the way. I will never say you're not saved because you got Elvis sideburns. I will say they are ugly, but I will never say that you're not saved because whatever, adding something onto it, keeping the Sabbath. Y'all understand what I'm saying? I think you ought to walk right, straight as an arrow. If they ever pull me over on one of those police things and make me walk in line, I say, I am happy today and the sun shines bright. My son is rolled away. Amen. If he says, touch your nose, I say, how could you miss this? Amen. If he says, say your alphabet backward, I say, now you done gone too far, patrolman. Amen. But, listen, I think you ought to walk right. I think you ought to talk right. I don't go for little blue jokes. I don't go for little dirty Christian words. I don't go for that little snide look, you know, nasty, ugly. I don't go for that. I think you ought to spit white. I think if you smoke, you ought to quit. I think if you chew, you ought to quit. But I'm not going to say you're not going to heaven by doing that. I am old-fashioned, though. I'm saying those could be leaven in your life. They could hinder you. You know why I quit smoking? I never heard a sermon against smoking when I first got saved. I was trying to witness to an old Church of God man one day on the job, and I was sitting there reading his Bible, smoking a cigarette. On fire for God. He looked at me in that old Church of God way and he said, don't you talk to me about the Bible as long as you smoking them cigarettes. You're going to go straight to hell. That's legalism. But I said, will you talk to me if I quit smoking? He said, yeah. I said, I'll quit. Hardest thing ever, quit my life. I don't think smoking will send you to hell. I think it will hasten your end. I think you smell like you've been to hell. Stay out of my preaching. You was fixing to say that one. That's legalism. That'll hinder your progress. That'll stop you running. Watch out, watch out. But it will not stop you from going to heaven. Now, on the other hand, I don't think that a lot of folks understand that our liberty, we're not free to sin. We're not free to sin. God didn't save us so that we could have freedom to sin. You understand what I'm talking about? What he's saying is this. God, look at verse 13. For brethren, ye have been called under liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. He was saying, now look, you don't need that circumcision. You've been saved. You've got liberty. But wait a minute. Don't use your liberty as an occasion to sin. That's what he's saying. Well, I'm saved. I have eternal life. I believe once saved, always saved. And I can drink liquor, and I can smoke dope, and I can fornicate, and I can homo, and everything. No, you're going to die and go to hell because somebody has deceived you. That's not liberty. You're still in bondage. He set us free, see. Now, he gave us liberty not from the law to break the law. We've been talking about the law for the past two Wednesday nights. Faith and law. He didn't give us liberty from the law so we could break the law. He gave us liberty from the law so we wouldn't be under bondage, under the heaviness and the burden of keeping a law that we can't even keep. But he said, don't you use that as an occasion to go out there and sin. You know what? We could call the biggest hippie Christian band in town next week and bring them up here and just wave our hands and light our little phones and your little cigarette lighters, you know, and sing Kumbaya, my Lord, Kumbaya, and have a wonderful time and still go to heaven and stop the growth that God has in every one of us. You look at those people, they're immature. They're immature. I didn't say don't love them. He said he's give you liberty so you'll have liberty to serve one another. Did you see that? He said, by love serve one another. Now, did you know that there is no freedom under the law? But when we're not freed, we're not freed to serve our flesh, we're already doing that. Last point. We're on our way home. Some of you are glad. Verse 14. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Now, we're free to serve one another. And why would you serve somebody? You serve them because you love them. I ask people to clean the building. That's serving one another. I ask people to teach Sunday school. That's serving one another. I ask people to go on visitation. That's serving one another. I ask people to sing in the choir. That's serving one another. I ask somebody to play the piano. That's serving one another. I ask somebody to do children's church, Sunday school. That's serving one another. I ask somebody to do the sound. That's serving one another. When we have dinner on the grounds, people help set up and tear down. That's serving one another. Watch out for people who say they love you and they will not serve you. Amen. Because you're serving them. And you don't notice it. But there's some that are not serving you. And that's leaven. Because see, they don't love you like they ought to love you. Or they would serve you. I didn't work jobs I hated and work overtime and sacrifice and all that because the law told me I had to do it for my children. I did it because I loved my children. I don't come down here to this little old church and study and preach my heart out and weep and cry and pray because you paid me. I was doing it before you paid me. If you quit paying me tomorrow, I'll still do it. I'll pay myself if I have to. I bought my own gas before to go preach. I paid for my own motel rooms to preach for. But you do it because you love one another. So don't you come up, Brother Rick, don't you let nobody come around here and say, Rick, you're a wonderful man, I love you, but you ain't quite saved yet. Let me tell you something else you need to do to get completely saved. They don't love you if they do that to you. And then, Brother Ron, don't let nobody come over here and say, well, I love you, you're a wonderful man, but you're not quite saved yet, because if you were saved, you know that you would have the freedom to do all these things that they're preaching against up there. don't love you. They're lying to you. Misery loves company. Where's that video camera? We need this on live. Amen. Listen. We are not to be hindered. But how are we going to stop that? Y'all listening? How are we going to stop it, Jamie? How are we going to stop being hindered? I'm glad you asked. Look at verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. Hinder. You see that? Hinder. You cannot do what you would. That means hinder. You can't do it. But if you be led of the Spirit, ye are not under what? Look here at that next verse. He said, now the works of the flesh are manifest. Which are these? Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, that means loose living, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, that means partying, and such like, of which I tell you before, as I have told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Do you see what he's saying? He's saying there's two extremes here. One's the law, and you're saved. You're not under that anymore. The other extreme is all this wicked living, fleshly living. And you're not under that anymore if you walk in the Spirit. Now what does that mean, walking in the Spirit? It means submitting yourself to the Holy Spirit. We were talking about it in Bible class last night. Some of I got some of the smartest people in that Bible class. Amen. That wasn't one of them. But no, she's pretty smart. Clinton's smarter. But we were talking about this, you know. We were talking about the Spirit. And we were talking about walking in the Spirit. Walking in the Spirit is really not that big of a mystery. When you got saved, and I said it last night, you remember what I said? He put the law in our hearts. Y'all remember he said that? He put the law in our hearts. Now what that means is we don't serve the written law. We're freed from that. The one that wrote that lives right here. We have the law in our hearts. Now before you had to read something that says, and send the Bible somewhere, don't smoke. It ain't in there. But before you had to read, thou shalt not commit adultery. Now, when you start to do something wrong as a child of God, and you're walking along, you're living, you're trying to be obedient, you're walking in spirit, and you're tempted, you start to do something wrong, the law in your heart says, wait a minute, stop, hold it. Nobody had to preach that to you. A lot of people think you go to these churches and preachers, you're going to die and go to hell, ah! If you smoke a cigarette, ah! If you drank beer, ah! If you drank liquor, ah! Y'all didn't know I could hack, did you? Sound like I'm from Kentucky, don't it? And, but, listen, we don't have to have that kind of preaching. Now, don't get me wrong, I like that kind of preaching, especially for the guy sitting behind me. Because I'm trying to walk in the Spirit. And I've got the Holy Spirit saying, don't do that. The law is right there. And He tells me. Amen. So I'm free from that other law. I got liberty. I don't have to run around and say, wait a minute, let me go home and get my Bible and look that up, see if that's all right. No, I know. It's right here. But I'm not going to use that as an occasion for the flesh. I'm going to keep walking in the Spirit. And I won't let leaven in. He said, somebody hindered you. These people came along and told you wasn't completely saved. You needed something else. Let's tell you about it. And they told you something, and instead of helping you, it hindered you. Love one another. Serve one another. Get away from that crowd. Run them off. Don't listen to that. Walk in the Spirit, and you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. You don't need what they're talking about. You've already got the Son of God, the Holy Ghost, God the Father, and look, you follow them. And if anybody comes along and preaches anything else, another gospel, he said in another passage, let them be accursed. They're liars, they're crooks. Let them go to hell. Let them be accursed, he said. Now, we have all kind of people come here, Brother Ron, and there's all kind of ideas, and I love them to death, and I won't offend anybody if I cannot. If I can help it, I won't offend people. I want them to come, because here's the way I look at it. You won't know if I can't teach you. And you may have been raised in some other denomination that taught you something wrong. And I'm not trying to straighten you out. I'm just trying to teach and disciple and let the Word of God and the Spirit of God mature you so you can run this race without being hindered. I'm not hindering you. I wouldn't do anything to hinder you. And I know sometimes that goes against your raising, but I'll take the Bible against your raising any day. And I'm not your enemy, I'm your friend. And you know what? I always told every pastor, every church I went to after I became a preacher, I told them this. I said, look, I'll never do anything to hurt your church. I'm here to help you. If I can't help you, and if I disagree with you enough, I won't fuss, I won't fight, I won't cause a church split, I'll just quietly disappear. I'm not going to hurt your church. And that's the way every church member ought to be. Amen? I hope you're not being hindered by people tonight. If you are, come out from among them. Come out from among them. Don't listen to them. Amen? Let's stand. Father, thank you for the Word. I hope no one's being hindered from salvation tonight. Lord, I pray if they are, they just...